And good evening. Welcome to another
Radio.
And good evening. Welcome to another edition of the New Africa Business Association Blog Talk Radio. I am your host, Bilal Masadiq Bynum.
And Abdul Aziz Shahid, the co-host.
And we're saying that this is welcome to another episode of our business association network marketing and business identification. Tonight we're going to continue a series that we started the beginning of the month, and that was the contribution from the Honorable Elijah Muhammad to his son, Imam W.D. Muhammad. So we are going to do part four of that particular contribution that has been made. So give us just a few seconds. We're going to deal with one of our sponsors, and we'll come back and give some of our audience a few chances to dial in. As a matter of fact, since we are at the point of saying dial in, any of you who wish to participate in tonight's show, Brother Masadiq, I'm saying Brother Aziz, what number can they call and participate with us?
Well, our blog call-in show for all the guests would be call-in number 657-383-1372, and that's
657-383-1372. So, again, after one of our sponsors, we'll be right back with tonight's show.
Natural Skincare by Karima with Shea Butter. We offer a great selection of 100% all-natural moisturizing creams for the face and body, without preservatives. Also, check out our hair products. Order online and get them delivered to your home. Check out our new online shop at www.etsy.com. Search for Natural Skincare by KHB. For more information, visit us online at www.naturalskincarebykarima.com or email us at naturalskincarebykarima@gmail.com. Give us a call at 301-534-4475 or fax us at 240-318-3537. Try out our newest product, our peppermint foot rub, for a luxurious feeling your feet won't forget.
And welcome back to tonight's show. Again, we're going to do a repeat of the contribution from the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, and the contribution he made to his son, Imam W.D. Muhammad. This is part four.
قالوا سبحانك
ولا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم. قال يا آدم أنبئهم بأسمائهم فلما أنبأهم بأسمائهم قال ألم أقل لكم إني أعلم غيب السماوات والأرض وأعلم ما تبدون وما كنتم تكتمون. وإذ قلنا الملائكة فسجدوا لآدم فسجدوا إلا إبليس أبى واستكبر وكان من الكافرين. وقلنا يا آدم اسكن أنت وزوجك الجنة وكلا رغدا حيث جئتما ولا تقربا هذه الشجرة فتكونا من الظالمين. فأزلهما الشيطان عنها فأخرجهما مما كان فيه وقلنا اهبطوا بعضكم لبعض عدو ولكم في الأرض مستقر ومتاع إلى حين. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم
آمين.
I'd first like to start by thanking Imam Elamine and Sister Fidra and everybody that is helping to put on this conference. The last count we had for online streaming was 11,200. So, just kind of giving you an idea of how large this is. So a little bit about myself. I'm an Oakland native. I'm the daughter of Amma Salah and Haji Sabri. So my mother was a part of the nation back in New York and then also in Chicago. And she played a large role in the University of Islam and later at the Sir Claire Muhammad School. And so I just wanted to make sure that I paid homage to her since I had the opportunity and especially giving the content of this panel discussion. She showed a huge commitment to education and Elijah Muhammad's teachings of educating our own. So I'd like to kind of switch gears and give an introduction of our panelists. So first we'll have Nadar Ali, then we'll have Dr. Jamila Kareem, Imam Yusuf Saleem, and then Sister Gloria Kareem. So Brother Nadar holds a Master's of Arts in Educational Psychology and a Master's of Science in Education Administration. In 1968, he was appointed as the Director of Education of the West Coast region by the Honorable Elijah Muhammad during an effort to expand the University of Islam, and he was later appointed the Director of International Business and Trade in 1972. Brother Nadar also served as the chairman of the Board of Directors for the Nation of Islam's own bank. That was the Guaranteed Trust, the Guaranteed Bank and Trust in Chicago, and he's currently the chairman of the board for the Martin Luther King Housing Development Corporation, which is an organization that builds homes for the low-income elderly population. So with no further ado, Brother Nadar, you can make sure that you try to make sure that you stick to the 10 minutes for our opening statement.
Yeah. As-salamu alaykum.
Alaykum as-salam.
As-salam.
Enough to be assistant to the Honorable Elijah Muhammad in both the educational expansion and the business expansion for our community. I became a member of the Nation of Islam in 1966, and in 1967, I got my master's degree in educational psychology, and I wrote my thesis on the educational system of the Nation of Islam in California. So in 1968, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad's office gave me a call. We lived in Fresno, California, where I was an educator. His office called me and said, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad would like to see you in Phoenix at his office. And he said to bring your wife. Mary Ali was my wife, is my wife. So my wife and I, we traveled to Phoenix. We were picked up at the airport by some of the staff of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, and they took us to his home on Violet Drive. We were met at the door by Brother Albert Kareem. Some of you might know Brother Albert Kareem. He was a faithful helper of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. Brother Albert Kareem met us at the door. He took us to our room on the second floor, and he said, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad is asking that you spend the night with us, which we were pleased to hear and also shocked. He said, but first of all, we want you to fresh yourself and get ready to go down to dinner at 4 o'clock to see the Honorable Elijah Muhammad and have dinner. So at 4 o'clock, we went downstairs. Honorable Elijah Muhammad was seated at the head of the table, and he seated me to his left, and he seated my wife to my left. And he began to ask me questions about me and my family, what was I doing, and what were my plans. And then he said, Brother, I want to explain to you what my plans are. He said, I plan to expand the University of Islam all over the United States. He said, presently, we only have two schools that are full-time schools and that are really functioning good, and that's in Chicago, Illinois. He said, but now I want to spread the University of Islam all over the United States. So he said, I'm going to appoint you the Director of Education for the Western region. And he said, and concurrently, I'm appointing Brother Clark X out of New York. Oh, he told me my base would be in Los Angeles, California at that time, temple number 27. And he said, Brother Clark in New York, he will handle the eastern region of the United States, and his base will be temple number 7 in New York City. Brother Muhammad, would you come up and help me, please? Established universities of Islam in those regions where I could. Brother Clark was to have the eastern region, which started up here in Massachusetts, all the way down to Florida, over to
Bring us along.
Very, very enjoyable.
Something's wrong with my phone. Can you hear? Can you hear the phone?
Yeah, I can hear it now.
Okay.
Now I can, but it was fading out a while ago.
Okay.
I don't know what it is.
I think it's the telephone. So my battery's going. It's running out. I got it on the speakerphone. I'm hoping everybody else can hear it.
Yeah, I hope so too. Yeah, I can hear it.
Okay, hold on. I'm going to put it back up and see what happens.
Matter of fact, he's in Chicago. He invited me to come to Chicago. And
what happened there?
He said, now, I have a plan for our
You can hear it?
Our people.
Yeah, I can hear it.
Their economic condition is very, very dire. He said, in order to raise the economic condition of our people, he said, we have to help them. And he said, my vision is food, clothing, and submit and give to our people food at a very low price, shelter at a low price, and clothing at a low price, it will automatically raise their standard of living. You see the wisdom in that? So we started out. He spent $3 million. He bought a shipload of products from Japan and Korea of household goods, dishes, household goods, other things. And it came into the port of Oakland. And as it was in the port of Oakland, that's when he called me because his good was in the port of Oakland. He said, I have $3 million that's tied up there in the ports, and I need those things distributed. He said, I think you can do it. So I was very happy to try. But anyway, I thought about it, and we already had an automatic system of distribution. That's the Muhammad Speak newspaper. Every week. Because Muhammad Speak newspaper, and I think Brother Shaw mentioned that a million copies were being sold on a weekly basis there. So every week these papers were going out by plane, by rail, by truck. So Sister Arlene Elamine, who's now, she lives in Minnesota, she used to be John Ali's secretary. Well, Elijah Muhammad let her come and help me as an assistant. She was, that sister was very, very tough. We cataloged all of those goods, $3 million worth, and we priced them. And we started the temples to ordering these goods and shipping them out to the different messages. And we recouped the honorable Elijah Muhammad's $3 million, and we had some money left over. So after the $3 million recouping of this good, he said, now, brother,
can you see here?
I really have a project for you.
Yeah, I feel it.
Okay, because I'm hearing it through your phone. I'm hearing it through your phone.
Oh, okay.
It's coming through your phone, not mine.
Oh, okay.
At a very low price. And he did this for years, and he was buying farmland. He was really moving. But this time, he said, we're going to embark on the food portion. He said, the Bible says that the corn is in the fish's mouth. So he said, I want you to go where, I want you to research the world, anywhere in the world where you find the best and the cheapest fish, we will buy it. And we're going to buy in large quantities because if we buy in large quantities, we can reduce the price and we will then pass this price on to our brothers and sisters. He didn't want to sell it to everybody. He just wanted to sell it to the lost found Negroes of this United States. So he was limiting our way to sell. But fortunate enough, he did this one other thing. He hired a gentleman, Mr. Alishan Dober. He was a Turkish Muslim, and he had a shipping company there in New York. He was a shipping magnate. He hired Mr. Dober. He paid Mr. Dober $50 million a year just to train us in international trade because we didn't know about international trade. So Mr. Dober came on board. He trained us how to open letters of credit, how to do contracts, how to do everything in international business. He was really, really brilliant in this, and he was unselfish in helping us do all these things. And as we developed, we researched the whole world, and we found that the best and the lowest priced fish was in Peru. So we embarked, and we went to Peru. We traveled to Peru. Elijah Muhammad's grandson, Sultan Muhammad, who was fluent in Spanish, Mr. Dober and myself, we flew to Peru, and he said, another thing, he said, do not negotiate with any middle people. We're not dealing with middle people. We're only dealing with governments. he said, our government to another government. So don't deal with middle people. So we dealt with the government of Peru. We drew a contract up, 36 million pounds of fish a year. Each shipment of fish that came into the United States, 3 million pounds a month, every month, 3 million pounds of fish came into the United States of America. And it came in there, it came into the port. Brother Muhammad, pick the map up again. I'll tell you where these ports came in. This is what actually happened. Okay, we had fish coming into the port of Los Angeles. We had fish coming into Moley, Alabama. We had fish coming into New York City. We had fish coming into Savannah, Georgia. And this fish, the Los Angeles group, who was a very powerful and diligent group, they sold a lot of whiting in H&Z. I think Brother Shaw and Imam Hassan will vouch for that. They sold a lot, and all these, they covered this whole western region. Brother, and over here in New York, we didn't have Brother Clark was still with the educational field, so I couldn't use him. But another Brother Shamsuddin helped me do all the distribution there. And here we had the southern region was covered. We did it by truck. We did it by rail. We did it by plane. We covered the United States with fish. I'll tell you, only this 3 million pounds coming in every month and 36 million pounds coming in a year, we're talking about $50 million coming into this community every single year. That was a stimulus to everybody. Okay, brother. Now, what was so great about this is that if you know, my time is up, if you know that, just one thing I want to say. If you remember this idea of bringing in goods at a low price and then selling it, guess who did it? You ever heard of Walmart? They copied the online. They copied it. They did it, but only they weren't reducing the price so low that, and they were selling to everybody. But anyway, we sold to just our people, and I tell you, it was very successful. One more thing I want to say. In 1975, the Library of Congress stated that the Nation of Islam imported more fish into the United States than any company in the history of America. But this is a man with a third grade education. And if you had to be, if Allah, so unto Allah, Allah had his guidance and his blessing had not been with this community, it never would have happened. Takbir!
Thank you, Brother Nadar. So one thing that I forgot to mention briefly during my introductory statements is actually what the topic of discussion is for this panel, and I want to make sure that I stated so that the people that do not have programs that are live streaming online or meet or might get the recording later on, they know what discussion panel this is. So this is session 3, and we're discussing education and business ownership and whether it was a solution to economic and education inequality. So I just wanted to say that before I introduce our second panelist, who is Dr. Jamila Kareem. Dr. Jamila Kareem is an award-winning author, speaker, and blogger. She specializes in race, gender, and Islam in America. Jamila is the author of Women of the Nation, Between Black Protests and Sunni Islam with Dawn Marie Gibson, and American Muslim Women Negotiating Race, Class, and Gender Within the Community, which was awarded the 2008 Book Award in Social Sciences by the Association of Asian American Studies. She's actually working on a new book titled Radical Love, where she'll explore the death and beauty. Her new book titled Radical Beauty, she'll explore the depth and beauty of divine and human love. So she's working on that now. You can talk to her and find out more about that. Jamila blogs for Sapelo Square, Hagar Liz, Race, gender, faith. NYU Press Blog and Huffington Post Religion. She regularly speaks at college campuses and Muslim conferences across the nation. And in 2014, her scholarly activism was recognized by Jet Magazine, which featured her as a young faith leader in the African-American community. Jamila is also a former associate professor at the Department of Religious Studies at Spelman College. She holds a BSE in Electrical Engineering and a PhD in Islamic Studies from Duke University. And very notably, she also attended Sister Claire Muhammad and W.D. Muhammad High School from pre-K to 12th grade. And in 1993, she graduated from the second graduating class of W.D. Muhammad High. So she is definitely a product of a lot of the work of pioneers from the Nation of Islam, and I look forward to hearing her opening statement.
Sister Sandra Elamine, at least half of you know that name. She was my English teacher from 4th to 10th grade. Sister Sandra taught me the crafts of writing and public speaking. With her, I studied the poetry of Phyllis Wheatley, Paul Laurence Dunbar, Langston Hughes, and Gwendolyn Brooks. I read Toni Morrison's The Bluest Eye, James Baldwin, Go Tell It on the Mountain, Ralph Ellison's Invisible Man, Zora Neale Hurston's Their Eyes Were Watching God, and, of course, the autobiography of Malcolm X with Alex Haley. In the halls of Muhammad schools, our hearts became as attached to the legacy of African-American people as to the legacy of the Prophet Muhammad. May God grant him blessings and peace. We memorized both Quran and black poetry. It is for this reason that I can say that the black freedom struggle is spiritual for me. Progress for African Americans is part of my religious heritage. This means that when I decided to study Islam at Duke, oh wait, let me listen to my elders and teacher, Imam Darnell, and say when I decided to study Al-Islam, my focus would not be limited to Al-Islam as a great civilization across Asia and Africa. I was compelled to give as much attention to my own community, its unique history, and the teachings of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad and Imam Warfi Muhammad. When I wrote my first term paper on Elijah Muhammad, I interviewed members of the local Durham Muslim community to understand why he was such a life-giving force. My professor loved the paper and noted that I was gifted in ethnography, that is, writing the stories of women and men in my community. Alhamdulillah, I took this kind compliment and ran with it. By the grace and favor of Allah, I am today, 20 years later, a premier academic scholar on Islam in America, and especially African-American Muslim women. And all I do really is interview phenomenal women like the ones in this room and the one with me on stage, Sister Gloria Kareem, and write, narrate, I do a little bit of analysis of their amazing stories. This is what I did in my first book, published in 2008. Alhamdulillah, professors around the world assign it to their students. Just a year ago, I received this note from a Caucasian male student in Scotland. Assalamu alaikum, Dr. Kareem. I'm sure that you're very busy with your blogs and books regarding Muslim women experiences in Trump's America, and rightly so, but I just wanted a moment to say that I have been reading your book, American Muslim Women, Negotiating Race, Class, and Gender Within the Ummah, during my theology course at Glasgow University. And in my 3 years studying women and monotheistic religions, no book has captivated and engrossed me quite like this. I'm afraid this is the only piece of your work that I have read, but but as I explore Islam, I'm sure I will be reading a lot more of your writings, and I thank you greatly for your amazing insights and contributions to Muslim literature. Thanks again. Peace and strength, sister, with an exclamation mark. And he signed Liam. Now, I wish I could say that I get emails like this every day. I don't. But I share this special one to celebrate not a personal achievement, but a collective one. This is your legacy, our legacy, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad's legacy. Before I was even born or even thought of, people of African, Asian, and European descent were reading the Muhammad Speaks newspaper around the world. That someone across the Atlantic is now reading my words about how Islam made us love ourselves and love our sisters and brothers of other ethnic and cultural backgrounds is nothing new. It's only proof that the legacy lives. Alhamdulillah, I dedicated my second book to this legacy, Women of the Nation. Co-authored with Irish historian Dawn Marie Gibson, Women of the Nation is the first book on women's contributions and leadership in the Nation of Islam and the Manwarthi Muhammad community. We tell the remarkable story of Sister Anna Kareem, for instance, the first woman editor of the Muhammad Speaks newspaper, appointed by Imam W.D. Muhammad in 1975. It is quite significant that it was a woman who led the Muhammad Speaks paper, arguably the nation's most prized economic enterprise and educational tool, when the community transitioned to al-Islam. But it was Elijah Muhammad who first noticed this incredibly fearless woman, to use his words, and personally invited her to join the Nation of Islam. In 1965, Anna Kareem was a student at the University. She was also a member of the Student Coordinating Committee, or SNCC, where she devoted registration fieldwork in Lowndes County, Alabama, located between Selma and Montgomery. Elijah Muhammad became aware of her work in SNCC after ministers sent newspaper clippings of Anna and other SNCC members being beaten by police. What happened next, let's find out in Anna's words. And I also have a Phoenix, Arizona story. She says, "The Honorable Elijah Muhammad sent for me to come to Phoenix, Arizona. Some Muslim brothers met me at the airport in a limousine. They took me to his home, and we sat down at the dinner table. He introduced himself to me and said that he had heard of my work in the civil rights movement and that he wanted to invite me to join and help him with the work of, he said, pulling our people out of the mud. I had no trust in him whatsoever, and I told him, of course, I had no idea who I was talking to, but I said, 'Sir, it has been my experience that most chicken-eating preachers usually sell out their people for favors or money of some kind.' He listened politely as I continued. 'My work down there, sir, is to help get our people in a position where they can run for elected officers. The Caucasians down there have evicted most of them from their land for trying to register to vote. They are sharecroppers, and the Student Nonviolent Coordinating Committee has raised money for supplies, blankets, foods, and tents to shelter these people. Sir, I have to go back.' I stood up, and he said, 'Sit down, sister.' It was such a hard and abrupt tone of voice, I sat down. But he went on to explain about W.D. Farad and the wisdom that he had given, and he said, 'Sister, if you go back, if you continue doing what you're doing, you will lose your life down there.' I thought that was just a ploy to keep me there, but I said, 'Sir, I have to go back.' He said, 'Well, we will let you go, sister, and we will pray that Allah will return you to us.' Allah answered his prayer. After Anna nearly lost her life and saw others brutally killed, she decided to leave SNCC and join the Nation. After graduating Tuskegee, she moved to Chicago and became a member of his house staff, which would convene at his dinner table every evening. Often with guests, Anna, in her words again, describes this honor. 'I was very grateful to the Honorable Elijah Muhammad because studying the Quran, listening to him teach and preach night after night at his dinner table, it wasn't falling on deaf ears. I was studying, just trying to keep up with and understand the lessons that he said the Savior left with me. The stronger I got in understanding, the more talkative I was at the dinner table, and sometimes he would laugh and clap his hands. Keep going, sister, keep going. Ask me another question. He taught me and freely gave the wisdom that he said God had inspired him with, and I was so honored that he found my little wisdom, part of what I had learned from him, worthy to impart to others. He sent me to Detroit, to Cincinnati, and to Dayton to deliver his message from the pulpit, and that had never been done by a woman. He sent me to teach in areas where there was a problem. He said the minister there is not following his instructions. So under the Elijah Muhammad, I was allowed to grow intellectually, socially, and spiritually. So that, to me, was one of the greatest gifts God has given me, the recognition of a leader I love and respected. And in conclusion, since this panel explores economic equality, I will end with some of Elijah Muhammad's wisdom on economics that Anna passed on to me. She said, so the Honorable Elijah Muhammad talked about black power, and soon after that, that's all you heard was Stokely. What kind of power do we want? We want black power. You know, and the Honorable Elijah Muhammad used to say, black power has to be economic power. He said you have to define the power you're talking about. He said your blackness doesn't give you anything, nor their whiteness gives them anything. He said you have to have an economic base from which to stand and demand the right to own land, the right to build schools in your neighborhood or build homes, the right to send your children to quality schools. He said you have to have an economic base on which to stand. And although I never do this, but following in the footsteps of my leader here, I'm going to say takbir. So thank you, Jamila. Next, we're going to have Imam Yusuf Salim. So Imam Yusuf Salim is recognized as a dynamic leader in the American Society of Muslims who identify with Imam W.D. Muhammad. Imam Yusuf Salim is a graduate of Howard University, where he received his Bachelor of Arts and Master of Education degrees. He served as a resident imam of Masjid Muhammad, as well as the director of education at the Claire Muhammad School in Washington, D.C., from 1990 to 2010. Imam Salim was appointed by Imam W.D. Muhammad as the National Director of Education for the American Society of Muslim School System for the period of 2000 to 2003. Imam Salim has been a presenter on Islamic education and the universal aspects of education at schools, churches, and forums, and also at the yearly National Islamic Conventions. After 9/11, Imam Salim met with President Bush and other Muslim leaders to condemn the attacks and to present a unified front against terrorism. And consequently, on October 24, 2001, the leadership of the U.S. Senate was prompted to invite Imam Salim to speak on Islam at their weekly prayer breakfast. He was the first guest speaker in 50 years. He also formally opened the U.S. Senate with prayer, following in the footsteps of the invocation given by Imam W.D. Muhammad in 1992 by invitation of the first Muslim congressman, Keith Ellison. Imam Salim has the singular, distinct honor of being the only imam to open both the U.S. Senate and the U.S. House of Representatives. In recognition of Imam Salim's hard work and dedication, the National Capital Area Branch of the National Conference of Community and Justice recognized him as a community leader in May of 2002. And in August 2002, Imam Salim joined other faith clergy in receiving the first mayoral clergy award presented by Anthony Williams, mayor of D.C. in September of 2002. The American Society of Muslims selected him as the Muslim Man of the Year for 2002, and the Metropolitan Police Department Chief Charles Ramsey appointed Imam Salim as the first chaplain of the Islamic Faith of Washington, D.C. Police Department. Imam Salim is married to Maryam Salim, and also who is also an educator, and they have four children. And Imam Salim always wants to make sure that he gives credit to Allah for any successes and strives to serve Allah by serving humanity. So.
Thank you. Assalamu alaikum. So due to time, I'm reading exactly from my script. I am speaking from the theme, it takes a village to raise a child. Also the fact that humans and their entities are birthed from a womb. I am Joseph William King, Jr., so is my name on my birth certificate. I'm also Joseph X. King, so I asked him to put that on my master's degree. Then I became Joseph 30X there in Washington, D.C., and then in 1978, I decided to legally take the name of Joseph Yusuf Salim. And I've been married, as she said, 50 years, so that's really for you millennials. If she was good at eight, then she's probably going to make a good wife. And that's when I met my wife, when I was 8 years old. And she was then known as Mary Yvonne Hollis, and then she became Mary Yvonne Hollis King, then she became Mary X, and then she became Mary 22X, and now she is known as Miriam Hollis Salim. Despite not having received my X, Dr. Lonnie Shabazz, who was the minister at that time, appointed me as the boys' English language arts instructor at the Muhammad University of Islam in 1973. Yes, we instructed universal knowledge from the kindergarten. Now, being a teacher, I guess I got to put that in. You know how we say kindergarten? Well, really, it means a kind of God. Even though it ends in G-A-R-T-E-N, it's implied G-A-R-D-E-N. And, you know, in the kindergarten, the students are called innocent. So we don't have racism and all these other factors later on in life. So in Washington, D.C., as I said, I was appointed to teach the English to the 12th grade, 9th through 12th grade. Because the boys only attended 9 a.m. to 12 noon, and the girls came 12:30 to 3:30, our wise minister demanded that our students be tested with the same identical assessment that they use in the public school. So what happened is the public school came to the University of Islam and said, you're going to have to shut down because your students are not getting enough time in their classroom. So he demanded that the students be tested with the same identical assessment tool as the public school students were. And the public school officials never approached us again. After receiving the results, we showed our students mastery and outshine their counterparts in the public school. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. The Nation of Islam, under the leadership of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, was the village and the womb for our children. Each member, if you were a member, you were required to enroll your children. We ate one meal a day. We distributed the Muhammad Speaks newspaper. If you were a male, you were a member of the FOI, Fruit of Islam, and you attended classes. If you were a female, you were a member of the MGT, GCC, Muslim Girls Training General Civilization class. You attended the meetings on Wednesdays, Fridays, and Sundays. And we all constantly fished, and meaning that we invited as well as brought in potential members. In fact, Joseph 30X, Yusuf Salim, was a fish. So the high standards of academic achievement were the results of everyone on the same page. The community, the family, and the children, all as one. So in this panel discussion I have, the similarities of the membership of our village or our womb served as the foundation for the success of our Muhammad University of Islam, meaning that we knew, as African Americans, we knew the need and we could admit that we all realized we needed better education, we needed our own businesses, and we needed better employment opportunities. So the African American identity, socially, morally, economically, spiritually, was about the same in all the major cities. Just as the Honorable Elijah Muhammad was prime for do for self, so were we. Just as Honorable Elijah Muhammad was prime for no big eyes and no little U's, so were we. Just as he was prime for freedom, justice, and equality, so were we. And we needed to, also we know we needed to fast on December, because of December the 25th, we might become thieves or we might be broke the next year. Yes, and we didn't smoke, we didn't drink, and we were not TV and theater acts. We all knew we needed more than a preschool. We needed more than elementary school. We needed more than a high school. We know we needed all students to come under the banner because of what's being taught, universal knowledge. Therefore, so our institution is appropriately called the University of Islam. We know we needed good homes, money, and friendship in all walks of life. So this message that I'm trying to give now, the example is that the same message that the children heard at home, the same message we heard in the temple, the same message we heard in the school, was the same all over. So that made us a powerful unit. A day at Muhammad University. University of Islam, and I actually speak mostly in D.C. It began with the Brothers General Assembly. It was instructed by the minister, who was also considered the director of education. All wore suits or FOI uniforms, and only the males, if your school went up to the 12th grade, only the males would instruct the math, the science, the social studies, the English, and physical education to males. Male teachers, male students, if you're up to the 12th grade. And an atmosphere that supported, here's another one of my little sayings, a learning environment. Learn, L-E-A-R-N. And so what does that suggest? That suggests that usually your best learners are your best listeners. Yeah. And so therefore, that's the deductive reason. The best learners are not all the time are your best learning listeners. In all of my 50 years of teaching, I have never participated or observed a better learning environment, even compared to today's juniors. I have never witnessed a better learning environment than I experienced there at Muhammad University of Islam. And many of the parents are still active in the community. Then, of course, we're talking about the brothers. After that came lunch. And then after lunch, we would go out in the streets to solicit in the neighborhoods, Muhammad speaks. Sister session would also be pretty much the same. A general assembly instructed by the minister, who is also the director of education. Again, the females, if you had a 12th grade, 9th through 12th grade, then they would instruct them in mathematics, science, social studies, English, physical education, etc. Also, the sisters were taught cooking and sewing, as also were courses for the female. So an atmosphere of learning as well as discipline was demanded. The females also wore uniforms, one color, and by dismissal, we were hoping we had a school bus or a school van that would take them. And finally, in this transition to the Muslim American society, Imam said, Imam W.D. Muhammad, may Allah be pleased with him, accept him in paradise, highest station. Education is our community's top priority. And we can combine that with what we know in the Quran. First revelation of the Quran, Iqra, read, right? And even in the word, Quran comes from the word Qara'a. All right, and what does it say? It says, this is the book, and it is guided. So actually, when you're reading from the Quran, you're really getting education. And when our imams are teaching, instructing in the Juma, the parts one and part two, it should be more emphasis on education as opposed to an emotional appeal. Imam W.D. Muhammad renamed the schools after his mother, Clara Muhammad, as he reflected on her dedication to educating her own and her support of the students. It was already mentioned that he happened to be the child there when they came to let her know that she couldn't be homeschooling, which is very popular now, homeschooling, that she said, I'll be as this doorstep before I allow you to take my children. So therefore we see the imams again, the community education is our community's top priority. After serving as principal of Chicago's Clara Muhammad School in the 80s, and where I also instructed imams' children, Sadruddin, Engina, and the current leader, president of the Mosques, Imam W.D. Muhammad, and then we have Sister Fitcher Muhammad, you feel familiar with her, she has a daughter Khadija, she was in my class. We also know Darnell Kareem and Gloria Kareem. Their sons and daughter were in my class as well. And I really just found out while I was principal of the school, Dr. Precious Rashid Muhammad was also at the school in the third or fourth grade. So that was just like I am now, that's how I was every day at that school. And she can tell you the same. So the man referred to me as professor. I was appointed by him as the National Director of Education for the American Society of Muslims. And the first thing I did for three months, I attended 30 of our schools. I actually went and visited. And some of them were, of course, Mobile, Alabama, Los Angeles, California. I met there where you were beginning to build the edifice you have now, Oakland, California. Of course, Atlanta, Georgia, Newark, New Jersey, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, Columbia, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, etc., etc. So during the first 4 months of my term, I visited at least 30 located across the nation to do what? And I gave this report to the imam to assess their overall status and to determine the steps needed for integration into a school system. So we were headed, as he already mentioned, as Honorable Elijah Muhammad was, we were headed to have a national school system, the first of its kind. Now, I'm going to mention what we did. I turned to ma'am as a profile. These are the questions, the things I had to find out. The school's name, location, address, phone, director, principal, length of time in existence, grade, students, boys, girls, Muslims, non-Muslims, instructional staff, education, salary structure, environment conducive to growth, development, expansion, type of building, needs, budget, etc. And then what I did is I sent out to the schools these five areas, and I think they're worthy today in terms of trying to have a school. And that is, you need a curriculum, and it should be comprehensive instructional program. We have a group now called the Consortium of Clara Muhammad Schools, and it has developed a creation-based curriculum. Also, you have financial, and then you have fundraising. The difference in those two, financial means right now. Are we going to be open next week, or are we going to be open next year? They just dealt with that. While fundraising, you might have a CPA on that. But on the fundraising, now we're looking ahead to make sure our schools stay vibrant, legislation, school site and facility, and finally, recruitment. Thank you.
All right. So you are in for a treat. Sister Gloria is a delight. She is originally from Chicago, and she comes from a family of pioneers. Her grandparents were in the nation, her parents were in the nation, and Sister Gloria attended the University of Islam from kindergarten through high school. Her husband, Imam Darnell Kareem, was a classmate of hers at the University of Islam, and so was Imam W.D. Muhammad. And fun fact, Sister Gloria was actually a member of the first graduating class of the University of Islam in Chicago in 1957. She actually spent quite a bit of time with the Honorable Elijah Muhammad and his wife, Sister Clara Muhammad, and she developed a special relationship with Sister Clara Muhammad, which she will elaborate more on during her statements. She currently lives in Chicago with her husband of 61 years, and they have six adult children together. So.
Thank you, Sister Najla. Assalamu alaikum. That is peace be on you. The praise is for God, the Lord and sustainer of the universe, the Lord of all the worlds. We pray the prayers and the peace be on Muhammad, the last prophet, the universal messenger of God to all people. We witness that there is none worthy of worship except God, the Lord Creator, one God, and we witness that Muhammad is God's messenger. As she mentioned, my name is Gloria Kareem, wife of Darnell Kareem, classmate of Imam W.D. Muhammad, and daughter of two great pioneers of the Nation of Islam, Viola and Shelby Kareem, who were among the early pioneers that paved the way for us today. My mother, Viola, served in many capacities. To mention a couple, she was one of the first teachers of the school, University of Islam, and personal secretary to the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. My father, Shelby, was among the men who were incarcerated for being a conscientious objector during World War II. I'd like to give recognition to them, thanking them for their sacrifices and devotion, because they're responsible for the person that I am today. As during that time, my mother, along with Sister Clara Muhammad, ran the community from the instructions provided by the Honorable Elijah Muhammad to his wife, Clara. I was raised as a Muslim and attended the University of Islam. The name itself was strategically chosen as a clear voice of the high expectations that was expected from the students, while the teachers were willing to take the risk, accept those challenges by being the dedicated, caring, and devoted persons that they were. Their desire was to bring the best results out of the students and to make sure that they succeeded. Sister Clara Muhammad, may God be pleased with her, because she was not only the wife of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, but she was a highly dignified woman with a vision. Her interest was education, and she played an extremely important role in the school. In my childhood, I was fortunate and had the privilege of working in the home of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad after school, and worked closely with Sister Clara, serving dinner along with other servers to many of the dignitaries that would visit his home. Per his request, I was assigned to serve him directly. While working in her home, I had a chance to observe her on a daily basis. But what's outstanding in memory of her was that she was an ordinary woman, but in her tiny appearance lies an extraordinary fortitude, persevered woman, an altruistic soul with a very kind heart, but always carried a smile. I feel very honored to have had a person of her caliber in my life. She was a meticulous dresser, having a flair for elegance even in her home. I can truly say that Sister Clara Muhammad was a strong, firm, and fantastic woman, and certainly a model for the world. I feel confident in saying that being the type of person that she was, and with the strength and support that she gave to her husband, had a tremendous effect and was an asset to his success. First and foremost, she set the standard of how homeschooling could be effective in the education of our children. So she began with her own children until the school was established. As in the infancy of establishing the school, we didn't have a physical building, so classes were held in the homes of Muslims until the community were able to obtain a building. Sister Clara, being the busy woman that she was, also volunteered time, her precious time, setting the pace for parent-teacher involvement and relationship. She orchestrated the necessity of having God in the school, while instilling in the children the need to seek God's protection when they would go out and face the world. As she implemented, the world was too big to manage on their own. Our daily classes always began with prayer and ended with prayer. From my experience, I feel that prayer in the school was very effective. This gave us a foundation at an early age on how to govern our lives, as well as instilling in us the awareness and the accountability to God. Sister Clara Muhammad's presence had a huge impact in the school. Her sincerity and desire for the students to prevail and to achieve the academic expectations at the University of Islam was prevalent. She never failed to attend all of the graduations and gave out red roses to all of the girl students. This school serves as something special to me, as I was able to witness how a school was developed from people who had very little resources and finances, but with strong determination and faith in God, was able to produce respectful educators and leaders and you can see that today. What a journey. We can say that Sister Clara's hard work paid off, and she was able to produce two leaders from her own family, a world leader, Imam W.D. Muhammad, and Dr. Afa Muhammad, professor of Islamic law, as well as many of her grandchildren are recipients of PhDs and are ready awards. After Imam W.D. Muhammad became the leader, he renamed the school Sister, in respect of his mother, Sister Clara Muhammad School. I'd like to say thank you, Sister Clara Muhammad, for your sacrifice and contribution to society. I believe that your works should be noted and placed among the many other African American women who were influential in establishing higher learning institutions, colleges, and universities for the purpose of educating our own. Thank you.
Okay,
brother.
Yes, honey.
I ended it right there. I think my battery went dead. So what? When you go ahead. What were you saying?
What'd you say? You glad I called in?
Yeah, because if you hadn't called me back, I wouldn't have been on the air.
Oh well, alhamdulillah.
Have you closed it out? Because if not, we're still on the air.
Yeah, no, I hadn't.
No, as a matter of fact, I think we still got one or two of our guests on the phone. Sound like a brother?
All right, well, my salam.
Okay, I think we got some other brothers still on the phone that hasn't dialed. Okay, some of them just dropped off. Okay. Yeah, so what were you saying? Aziz? Hello? Okay, I'm going to call you back. Walaikum
Salaam.
How
Imam
you doing?
Tariq, from Biloxi.
Oh, brother, you been, how are you?
I'm doing good, man. That was great. That was great. That was real great.
Yeah, alhamdulillah. That was the fourth episode. The first.
Yeah, that was real great.
Yeah, so,
I caught that when it was being presented. They had it on Facebook. They were streaming live on Facebook.
Right, yes. That's where we are. Facebook do a lot of our stuff.
Yeah.
A whole bunch of it. Yeah, I've seen you on Facebook. I've seen you and your association on Facebook through us.
Yeah. Well, I do that workshop live. Matter of fact, we had one this past Saturday and everything.
Okay, yeah, and that's being advertised. I saw that on where we put it. It's being advertised out there. Matter of fact, I saw where
I think I posted it on, don't you have a business page on Facebook?
Yeah.
New Africa Business Page?
Right.
Well, I belong to that group page, and I posted the workshop, if I'm not mistaken, on your page. I think I need to go back and do it.
I look forward to you posting and promoting whatever, because like I said, I'm trying to, I want to do a network, a business thing down there in your location, and hopefully we can get enough folks from around the country. Because, see, that's what I'm looking to do. I'm looking at what David
and we need to get together and discuss that, hopefully. That's all we need to do is get together and discuss. I'm going to leave it at that.
Right. Well, that's what I want to do it. So the discussion is open for doing, because I get more out of coming to that in your location. And, see, that's the route I'm going to take it. See, ma'am, the New Africa Business Association is about the message I got when Imam W.D. Muhammad started all this back in 2005. And see, like I was telling Brother Aziz, when you're running a business association and you want other folks to become a part of your what you're doing, you got to present their value. You can't just present your own value. You have to present their value. And that's the only way they're going to want to do some business with you. I mean, especially if I'm in North Carolina, South, if I'm in Florida, why would I want to do any business with somebody in North Carolina? Not unless there is a value in it for me. So I have to present their value, and then so that's, you know, and that's where the value is. I'm not coming down there to see you to shake your hands. I mean, we can do that anytime. I'm coming because there's a value there. There's a big market there. And not only do we want to talk about that market, but we want to display that market. So we're inviting you to come to it. And that's what I'm looking for, folks who really got business to present. I don't
want
to come there for a whole lot of talking.
Let me ask you this right here. Now, I'm looking at a page here. It's N, I'm giving the initials, NABOD, New Africa Business and Organization. Is that your page?
NABASSC.
No, NABOD. Then it's got New Africa Business and Organizational directory. Is that your page?
I don't think so. I don't know anything about
it. It's not. I see who did it. Okay. No, I see who did it. The New African Students of Imam Wan D. Muhammad. Okay. That's who did that page.
Let me tell you something, Brother Mugman. Ever since we've been doing the New Africa, but see, before the New Africa Business Association got out there and started doing this block, nobody there was. I ain't heard a word New Africa Business Association nowhere. Now I'm beginning to hear it everywhere, which is good. I want that, but at the same time, like I said, there's a whole bunch of folks copying us and have got stories from what we've been talking about, which I don't mind because, again, you know where you got your values from. That's what I'm saying. The whole thing is to stop working so much for yourself and start networking as to where you can become a business, a community, a business association where everybody collectively is growing your business and doing, but networking and identifying each other. But so you're gonna, even Atlanta, Georgia. Atlanta, Georgia wasn't doing nothing, and you know what knocked me down is when David Hassan said he didn't know you on that conference last week. I couldn't believe that.
I thought he said he did know me.
Well, I'm saying after you introduce yourself. After you
in his defense, you got to go back and look at this. Now, that was what? This April would be 3-4 years ago, I think. Okay?
Yeah.
So in his defense, maybe he did remember me.
Yeah, but I'm saying, wait a minute. I understand, but Brother Mookman, when you got a great big discriminership, folks who can put folks in business and can do all of these things, you don't forget that person. You're networking with that person continuously. You know, that person is one of your, you know, in other words, if I was a national organization, that's what I'm looking for. It's folks that I can get on and talk, not only get on and talk about, but hey, we can now go. That's what I'm talking about, coming to visit down there, because, again, I can tell folks not only about what we're talking about, but now these workshops and stuff, the products and everything, we can come there and actually physically put our hands on it. You can see the stuff.
Right.
Matter of fact, you see, and that's what I want. See, one of the reasons I stopped going to the Business Association conference, I didn't hear nothing but a bunch of talk. I mean, like I said, this guy specializes in, and he's a civil service person trying to talk about business. You know, so I mean, I'm a businessman. I want to talk to the man who makes a living from business.
Right.
That's the first thing.
But the thing is, like I was saying, is that, you know, I was a guest I was invited there by Imam Yahya Abdullah because, again, I'm that's the parent company, Commonwealth Partners, and everything. And so, but we did a presentation there, and I just brought to his attention for him to remember me that I was the person that went to his house, me and another brother, and he served us some lunch.
Mm-hmm.
And then later from there,
mm-hmm.
because of our airplane leaving such at a late hour, we didn't want to wait at the airport all that time. So he took us
mm-hmm.
over to the airport after his house. So that's what I was doing for him to remember me. And I think he did briefly and everything.
And you know,
yeah.
And you know what happened? But see, this is what I mean about business networking and identify. David, from after talking with you and after remembering you or after reiterating you, whatever way we want to put you, he now can see that, hey, there is a value maybe that he saw one time, but that value is something you have to continue to expose. You have to continue, if you got
yeah.
it, continue to sell it. You don't have value, and all of a sudden I'm going to walk away from it and find another value. No.
Well,
I mean,
he did.
Why do you think he
let
not,
me, let me
you
bring
not
another thing to
other.
Your attention. Now, he did say that when I told him that I was inspired by what I seen there, and I came back and we built up the network to where it is today and what we
mm-hmm.
do on a monthly basis. Then he said he was going to put his secretary in touch with me, the possibility of me coming this year to do a workshop. So let's see how that works. Right. Right. So God knows that.
Precisely. And so,
yeah, God knows that. So.
Yeah. But see, this
yeah.
is what I'm hoping I can do. Because I want to bring all of these business associations, not to change anything you're doing, but at the
right.
same time, if we're going to have, if I'm going to get on and invite folks, because again, the same thing even here in D.C., if I am going to invite folks to come here to spend their monies, and I got to present a very valuable package. And
mm-hmm.
a very valuable package to a businessman is there's something in it for me, or there's a possibility there's something
mm-hmm.
in it for me. So here we,
mm-hmm.
like I said, we're presenting these values on the radio. We're talking about them on the radio, but in reality, every 4 or 5 months, we're sending all these folks we've been talking to, hey, man, listen, now we're going to have a real networking and identification a conference. And it's going to be
mm-hmm.
in Gulfport, Mississippi. It's going to be in Atlanta, Georgia. Wherever
mm-hmm.
we think we have this value as to where we can present value, then that's what I want to promote.
Okay.
That's what I try to promote
like
at all times.
Right. That's the only thing I was saying. I think, you know, I did, you know, he did get asked for my number. And so, like I said, we'll see what comes from it.
I can actually guarantee you David will have, because, again, understand, David and I work together on this thing every year. I
yeah.
give them assistance every year. They like I used to work with them 100% of the time. But, again,
mm-hmm.
I'll be honest with you. I saw too much I going on. And I said, wait a minute, I'm not in it for to make nobody the money. If I could make money for everybody, we could all make money together. But when they start selling a toilet tissue and everything is devoted to the man who has this toilet, this guy was selling toilet tissue there one time. He's bringing it in from China
mm-hmm.
again. And but because... And I'm saying the emphasis was on this guy every year. Is this toilet
mm-hmm.
tissue? I mean, fine. I mean, he might come to the conference and give everybody a case of toilet tissue, and which is fine. There ain't nothing. But I'm saying, hey, there's other businesses. And but what it is,
yeah.
I think somebody, you know, a couple of dollars here, a couple of dollars there. Because I'm saying I know that they're, from running the business association, there is some presenter. Do you know anything about Dr. Parker with 510?